So what's up, everybody? Today on the show, I have Jared Shelton, author of 2016, How Donald Trump Saved America. And today we're here to talk about the election and everything that's going on. So thanks for stopping by. Thanks for coming on the show, Jared.
Thank you for inviting me.
Hey, no problem, man. How you been?
I've been great. Just trying to make it out here in this crazy world we got going on right now.
It is absolutely wild. The last 8 months, 9 months have just gotten out of control.
Absolutely. It's wild, man.
Yeah, I've done a couple shows on the coronavirus, and I truly believe it's a scare tactic. I don't think it's not as bad. 98% survival rate to me, 99%, excuse me, is not dangerous at all. What do you think?
I agree 100%. Listen, this was planned out from the very beginning. If you look at when Donald Trump was elected in 2016, he ran on making America first, not putting China first, putting America first. He started fulfilling those promises, and as I discussed in my book there, China got killed. They were losing billions of dollars every year. I think $8 billion every year they were losing in their trade. China was panicked. They had to do something. Now, it's my belief, I'm not an expert on this, but it's my belief, and there's actual evidence of this, that it was the coronavirus did not come from a bat, as they told us. It actually come from a lab in Wuhan. And if you follow Tucker Carlson, he had the Chinese virologist on there who actually had the evidence. And of course, like everything else, she was shut down. Twitter banned her from spreading the truth because it didn't fit the narrative. The narrative was this was an accident. Donald Trump screwed it up and just obey and shut up. And so she come out with something that challenged that authority, and she was shut down on Twitter, shut down on Facebook, and she had to flee China for her life because she was scared for her life. So there's actual evidence that it was created in a lab. Now, whether it was an accident or as a biological weapon, nobody really knows that, but it was actually created in a lab, according to her and according to even other virologists who said, who have went on to say that this does not behave like a normal virus. Just different things that it does not behave like a normal virus. And so there was just complete evidence that shows that, you know, this was not just something that was manufactured. This was not just something that was just spontaneously come from a bat, as was told. So China, they allowed this to escape the lab in Wuhan with the intentions of going out into the world and causing chaos and causing havoc, knowing that in America, our liberal politicians would take this and this would be their cue to enforce things and shut down our economy and try to destroy our economy in hope for getting Donald Trump kicked out of office. And that's where they went with it.
Do you really think that they're that, like, that plan? You think it was really that planned?
I do.
Really?
I do.
Okay. Well, I don't. So my view on it is I didn't know that it was a controversial that it was created in a lab. I thought that was evident and there was evidence about that. So I know China tries to spin things their own way. But I was confident that it was created in a lab anyways. I do believe that they did release it on their own people. It's China. I mean,
right.
Human rights is not a thing. We know that by Hong Kong.
No.
What I do think, though, is I don't think it was meant to get out necessarily. Now, it coming to the U.S., it didn't hurt them. Right.
No.
Go ahead.
If you look at it, China has actually benefited from all this. Their goods have actually gone up because now what's happened? People are not shopping. More people are buying stuff, cheap products from China. So, of course, that's good for them. It's more money back in the Chinese government. You know, I don't know. I can't prove that they intentionally wanted it to get out into the world and specifically America. But they could have contained it in Wuhan and in China, but they allowed it to escape. Now, did they do it for the intentions that I'm seeing? We'll never know. They'll never admit to it. But if you look at what has happened to their country, it certainly didn't hurt them. They certainly wasn't like, well, let's make sure it doesn't get to America, because at the end of the day, they probably was perfectly okay with it getting to America.
Yeah, and that was kind of my thing, too. In one of my shows, I even said it, like, I don't think it was planned, but I do believe that it being an election year always puts that kind of spin on things. Like, Trump was really getting after China with his tariffs and everything, and then this comes out. Of course, the Democrats, I don't think they were involved in it, obviously. I think that's a bigger conspiracy theory that I'm willing to jump on board with, but they definitely have taken advantage of it. Because
no, I definitely agree with that. I don't think the Democrats had anything with the coronavirus coming here, but they certainly capitalized on it being here. They took this opportunity to say, well, we can lock down our government. They like power anyway. They like control. So they took this opportunity to mandate people sit inside, mandate people do nothing, don't go to church. They're most of them are against church anyway. You know, they wanted it locked down, and you hear them saying now they want more lockdown. And so they certainly was going to capitalize on this opportunity, and they didn't care if it tanked the economy. And the economy is what wins elections year in and year out. The economy was booming. 2017, 2018, 2019, the economy was booming. Everybody was making money. Jobs everywhere. And so China, they couldn't afford it, and Democrats, they couldn't afford it either. So when China released this virus, in my opinion, and then the Democrats said, hey, here's an opportunity, we can tank our economy, blame this on Trump, he didn't handle it properly, it's a win-win for us. We get power, we get control, we lock down our citizens. Look at Michigan, look at Pennsylvania, they just locked down their citizens, don't even give no regret or anything they want to do.
Well, I will say, you know, pre-COVID, this was a runaway election in Trump's favor.
Oh, yeah.
And I will say,
if we would not have had COVID, I mean, this would have been a 1984 Reagan versus Mondale election. Maybe not to that extent, because of course, California and New York and those blue states up there in the Northeast, they were nobody's going to vote for that. But Trump would have won probably 35 to 38 states had would not have coronavirus.
I completely agree with you. Coronavirus definitely hurt Trump more than it helped, and it helped Democrats more than it helped Trump, for sure. Because just like you were talking about, you know, they were going to blame it on him regardless. He tried to shut down travel to China really before even this coronavirus started getting anywhere, and they, at the time, they were dogging him for that, calling him a xenophobe, a racist, all kinds of names, and then 4 or 5 months down the road, you kick the can down the road, April, May, they're like, oh, he didn't shut it down fast enough.
Yeah. And, you know, the man who Joe Biden is putting in charge of his coronavirus task, when Donald Trump banned the travel from China, he went on CNN or MSNBC or one of the liberal networks and actually said, this is a bad. We should never do this. This was xenophobic and so racist and everything. So they would have never stopped China from coming here.
Oh, absolutely not. So, yeah, all right. So fast forward to this election. The whole time battling up to this election, President Trump was battling the mail-in ballot. He said it in May, if we allow mail-in ballots, this election is going to be a basically a shit show, and voter fraud is going to run rampant. And here we are, post-election, with a ton of discrepancies. I have some of them here, but are you surprised with everything that happened?
No, I'm not surprised at all. Any of this happened. I mean, you look at look at Pennsylvania and Nevada. Now, why would they, if you're going to mail out millions of voters, millions of ballots to voters, why would you take the safeguard of verifying signatures away if you wasn't blaming on people? Like, you know, when you go to vote in person, you have some bit of safeguard there. You know, you show your ID. You can easily verify that you are who you say you are. If you do voting right, fraud is very difficult if voting is done right. That's ID. Show up in person, vote with ID. Request the ballot. You're going to be out of town during the election. Request the ballot. Send in. Verify the signatures. Voting. Fraud and voting is kind of difficult, too, if you do it right. But when you do it this way, it increases fraud extremely by 10,000 votes.
Yeah, well, even more than that. So you mentioned Nevada. I have right here. The allegations in Nevada are dead voters, voters from thousands who no longer even live in Nevada, a van marked Biden-Harris full of opened mail-in ballots. I mean, those are some of the accusations. We don't know if they're true, obviously. We'll figure all that out, obviously, in litigation and hopefully in a recount. But, you know, Nevada was telling people for months, don't worry about our system. We have a lockdown system. We're going to verify signatures through a program. And then, sure enough, here we are, and we're having problems in Nevada.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they said the standard used to be an 80% match on the signature was what would be considered a legal signature, 80% match. They actually knocked it down to a 20% match. Now, why would someone do that? Integrity in your election.
Well, my research actually showed, it doesn't show it that low, but it's still, I see 40% is what,
40%,
yeah, Joe Gloria set the factory setting on the machine to accept signatures within only 40% match.
Okay, 40%.
I can write your signature within a 40% match just by looking at it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, fraud is what the electors are not only about winning them, it's about convincing the losers that the winner actually won. That's the whole purpose of the election.
Well, absolutely. You're absolutely correct. I mean, once the news came out and said, hey, Joe Biden's the winner, it was like, everybody just jumped on board. It was like, oh, he's the president-elect. And I think all the 70 million Trump voters were like, whoa, 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 whoa. Media does not declare winners.
Well, if you look how it happened, that's the most troubling thing for me and the other Trumpers is if you look at how it happened, okay, if you're watching the election coverage like I was, like millions of others were, you come in, you see Florida won by 7%, 6%. They call Florida. They call Ohio. North Carolina is leading big. Georgia's Trump leading big. Michigan's looking good. Pennsylvania's looking good. All these key states that he had to have are looking like unsurmountable leads that no way that Joe Biden's going to come back and win. And then all of a sudden, for no rhyme or reason, they're counting it 9:30 at night, and then miraculously start counting back at 4 o'clock with Trump no longer in the lead, and now Joe Biden's in the lead by 100,000 votes. It makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, that was usually, you know, that's a red flag for anyways. I would say that's a red flag. I don't care really what side of the fence you're on. If your candidate is winning by over 100,000 votes and within 15 minutes of them getting back to counting, your candidate is now losing by 38,000 votes, a 138,000 vote swing is statistically impossible.
I mean, that's what happens in banana republics. You know, in banana republics, if the candidate, their preferred candidate is not winning, they stop the counting. And then they open up the back door, bring in all the ballots they need, resume counting with their preferred candidate in the lead. It happened on election day.
Yeah, I mean, back to Nevada, said they had more than 600,000 mail-in votes. 200,000 of those only were verified with the machine that was only 40% match. So 200,000 votes not seen by human eyes whatsoever. In addition to that, I said earlier that Nevada had a bunch of residents vote that were no longer in the state. Schlapp said that there was at least 9,000 people who moved out of the state of Nevada but still voted. State of Nevada. So, I mean, I'm not saying that you're going to get those 209,000, you know, 209,000 votes all to Trump. But, I mean, he's only losing in Nevada by 34,000 votes.
Well, yeah, if it's a 3-to-1 ratio for Trump, or even a 2-to-1 ratio, then we close the gap.
Oh, the gap's over. I mean, you're looking at,
right.
I mean, 209,000 votes. Let's say it's 50%. You're like you said, 3-to-1, 2-to-1. I mean, that it's over. Nevada's gone. Nevada goes back to Trump. I think that's huge. And that's not even the worst state.
No, by far the worst state, Pennsylvania and Michigan. Yeah. I mean, they're the two that, like, you know, from what I've been hearing about the machines changing votes, 6,000 votes in one county?
Yeah, so.
I mean, what is that about?
So I'm from Michigan, ironically enough, and I will tell you that county doesn't even have a mayor. It's so small. 17,000 people that live in that county. Okay. So, fun fact, you know, Dan Bongino?
Dan Bongino, yep.
Okay. So his grandfather, World War II vet, was actually, they don't have a mayor, but they have, like a city organizer or something. I don't know what it's called. I don't remember what it's called. His grandfather was actually a city organizer of that county back in the day before he died. So Dan Bongino, I'm probably hacking up his name. Hopefully he didn't listen. You know, there's only 17,000 people in that county, and 6,000 votes were changed from Biden to Trump. We're talking about a third of the votes. So they call it a glitch, and it's the only glitch. Well, 47 other counties carry that same software, just in Michigan.
Right.
So, to me, you got to recount.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, you have to, in order to have integrity in this system, you have to audit every vote in the counties in the state that matter. You know, you don't have to go back to Arkansas. I mean, it's not going to change none whatsoever. Yeah. But the states that matter: Pennsylvania, Michigan, Ohio. Well, you know, Ohio, that's 8%. Minnesota, Michigan, Nevada, Arizona, North Carolina, Georgia, those states, you need to go back and recount every state, every vote needs to be audited, have a lawyer from the Republican team, a lawyer from the Democratic team, agree on it, or disagree on it. They disagree on it, it's set to the side. That's a now to a third arbitrator, maybe a judge somewhere. Does this vote count? If not, then you count them. You find out who won. Maybe Donald Trump lost. Maybe Donald Trump won. We need to know.
Well, and that's my side of it too. Listen, I voted for Donald Trump. I think he's the best candidate. I think Joe Biden is he's a career politician. And I don't think he's going to do any good for this country. That's my personal opinion. It is what it is. But, you know, unbiased of all that, even if he does end up winning, 70 million people voted for Trump. And if you don't verify this election, like, you are going to have a country divided even more than it already is.
Sure.
So I think,
nobody on the Trump side is going to believe that Joe Biden is literally won. They're gonna say he stole it from him. He stole it. Whether it's true or not. If you're Joe Biden, why are you not saying, let's do this, let's get this done so that I can prove that I really won? Absolutely. And the fact that they're remaining so silent on this kind of volume, really.
Well, he came out and said that it's an embarrassment that Trump hasn't conceded yet, which I thought was funny because Hillary gave him the advice, don't concede under any circumstances, right?
For 4 years, the Democrats have never accepted the results of the election. For 4 years. And now they're lecturing us about we need to have unity and accept. What the hell is that about?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's...
You destroy our country by putting us through a fake Russian investigation, knowing from the start, these people who were doing the investigation knew from the beginning that Hillary created this whole thing to cover up her email scandal. They knew from the beginning. They destroyed Donald Trump's presidency on false pretense, knowing ahead of time. And now they're lecturing us about we
need to
just accept the results.
No, listen, I've been all over social media saying the exact same thing. It's funny how, you know, for 4 years, not my president, carrying Donald Trump's head, severed head, you know, fake, obviously, through the streets, protests, all these things, and they're just attack from all sides, try to impeach him on some stuff Biden ended up doing, in my belief, with Hunter and all these things, yet now they think that, you know, Biden's going to pull this out, and then you're right. Now they're like, oh, we need to come together as a country. You could have done that 4 years ago, but now that your candidate has won, or you feel like you think they have, because this isn't over. I have conceded nothing.
Isn't it strange how every time the Republicans are in power with George W. Bush, the last 4 years of Donald Trump, we have to put up with all their bullshit. And then when they get in power, we should just accept it and be harmonious and just do what they say. Where's the market?
Well, that's how it is. That's how, I mean, it's a childish behavior. Listen, if you're a Democrat and you're listening to this, not all Democrats are that way. You know, we're talking about the radicals
who rule the party.
Yeah. I mean, which honestly is probably more than half. So if you're a Democrat, I talk to Democrats all the time. They're like, hey, I'm not that way. Like, hey, I protested peacefully. And I'm like, great, wonderful. Then I'm not talking about you.
There is a civil war about to happen in the Democratic Party. You watch and see. They're already throwing shots at each other, the moderates against the moderates against the far left wing, the Bernie Sanders AOCs against the Joe Manchin and the Spanberger that was on the teleconference said, we're gonna get fucking killed in 2022 if we keep this up. because they she can read between the lines. America is rejecting their idea.
They absolutely are. They're rejecting the defund the police and all those other statements they've been making. And they realized that 6 months ago and came out and said, like, we got to stop this. If you backdate that, you'll notice that 6 months ago, the message, the defund the police and all that stuff, that faded off by the politicians. They stopped talking about it. They stopped supporting it because, what did they say? Oh, the polls. The polls are showing.
The polls were saying that the people rejected this idea immensely. And so what happened, the Democrats, the politicians that wanted to save their job, they tried to rally the troops and keep them to shut up. But you can't keep AOC and all her followers from going out destroying America, from being the just trying to want to defund the police. That's just a radical idea that they're going to do and say, and they don't care.
No, you're absolutely right. If you're listening at home on the podcast, I'm talking to Jared Shelton, author of 2016, How Donald Trump Saved America. I'm going to have this link in the description. Go out and get you a copy. I have mine. And we'll be back right after this. All right, we're back talking to Jared Shelton, the author of 2016, How Donald Trump Saved America. Like I said, link is going to be in the description. Go ahead and check that out. It is a great book. I read it. I really enjoyed it, and I know you will too. So, you know, what we're talking about, you started talking about AOC. I really don't want to go down that road with her. That we could talk about a whole nother segment on that, whole nother show on her, in my opinion. But some things that I did some research on, and a lot of people have already mentioned some of this stuff, but I think it's important to talk about in these election oddities, because if Joe Biden does end up winning, this will mark a historic election in a number of ways. So
absolutely,
everybody knows we have bellwether states, right? You know, there's a saying, you know, the winner, how Ohio goes, the country goes in elections. Right. Well, this is, you know, when it says here, you know, the winner of Ohio has gone on to win the presidential election in every single election since 1904, with the exception of when Roosevelt beat Dewey. Right, Dewey won Ohio, and when Republican Richard Nixon won Ohio in 1960 and lost to JFK. It's the only two other times in history, 1944 and 1960, that Ohio did not pick the president. Basically,
yeah, and if you look at Ohio, he won it by 8 points.
Yeah.
Donald Trump won Ohio by 8 points.
It wasn't even close.
And you're telling me in next door Pennsylvania, who has basically the same residents, the same, you know, beliefs, they have pretty much the same, their economies are really pretty similar. Everything in Western Pennsylvania and Eastern Ohio are pretty much the same.
Oh, almost exactly the same. You don't even know the difference driving through.
When you leave Ohio going into Pennsylvania, other than knowing you crossing, in Pennsylvania, you might think you're still in Ohio.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just, and so then you're telling me that Joe Biden is going to win Pennsylvania after being behind by 700,000 votes, and then all of a sudden ahead by 100,000 votes, by 6,000 now? None of this makes sense.
The last thing I want to talk about with you is Pennsylvania, because I have the dirt on that. So we also have also bellwether counties. So you got the Goe County in Indiana has been won by every presidential winner since 1956, and the same is true for New Mexico's Valencia County since 1952. So you have Ohio, the state, Bellwether State, and then you have two Bellwether counties. There's many more, obviously. But these two counties, Trump won both of these this year. He won VIGO, by nearly 15 points and Valencia by 11 points.
Yeah. I mean, this just, none of this makes sense, but we're getting this thrown at us by Democrats as, well, let's just accept it. Just accept it. Just accept it. Yeah. Don't even question it. It might sound strange, but don't question it. Just accept it. That's the patriotic thing, too.
Well, yeah, because they want to push, they want to kick this down the road. They just want it to be over because they don't want it to challenge. You know,
I mean, hell no, they would hate if they would never want to go out and do an audit, find out they leaked the election.
Oh, I've already asked people, what happens when if this president elect gets, you know, the media was premature and Trump ends up winning. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Oh, our country's going to burn.
Oh yeah, that will be. Do you remember the night of the election, the day leading up to the election, in all these big cities, all these buildings were going out and boarding up. Mm-hmm. They wasn't boarding up because they thought Joe Biden was going to win. They were boarding up because they thought Joe Biden was going to lose.
I absolutely.
That's what I can say.
No, I do know that for a fact, and I have people tell me all the time, like, well, what's I had a Democrat ask me, well, what's the proof that that was ever going to happen? I was like, have you not been around the news the last 6 months? I asked my neighbor, who is a Democrat, and we were talking, and I was like, what are you talking? She said something similar. I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, don't you remember Chaz? And she was like, what's Chaz?
Not too many Trump supporters in the newly formed state of Chaz.
She didn't even know what Chaz was.
Yeah.
I had to explain it to her and then tell her to Google it. I was like, I can't even explain it to you. Like, I can't even believe you never heard of it. And listen, she's a smart lady. Don't get me wrong. She is very, very, very intelligent, very educated. But it just goes to show that, you know, if you only watch one news organization, you're only going to get one side.
Oh, yeah.
And I heard Stephen Crowder. He's the one that says, change my mind. I heard him talk. I watched one of his deals, change my mind. He was talking to a black kid at a university. And they just had a talk. It wasn't like a debate. Like, the kid believed one thing. He just sat down and Crowder just talked to him. I mean, he said, he's a 19-year-old kid, and he was a smart kid, too, right? And Crowder even said that. He's like, wow, you're an extremely intelligent young man. Like, he really impressed me. And before it was all over or whatever, he went to leave, and he said, hey, can I ask you a question? And Crowder was like, absolutely. He's like, how do I decipher between what's right and what's, you know, a story? And Crowder looked at him, he's like, you know what I do? I watch one news channel from the left. I watch one news channel from the right. I watch one news channel from the left. I watch one news channel from the right. And I do that for three different news channels on the same issue. He's like, and the truth is somewhere usually in the middle. He's like, you got to use your common sense and you're going to have to use your own deal. I thought that was great advice.
Yeah, people don't think for themselves anymore. They just turn on the TV, or they turn on Twitter, or they turn on Facebook, and they get their news, and they just, that sounds right, that sounds right, that's good. He's a trusted person, he's good. And they don't even think for themselves. Somebody tells them something, oh yeah, sounds good, sounds like what I want to hear. That's where we are. That's where we are, more than anything, is it's what people want to hear. You know, they have preconceived ideas, so they find something that supports their idea.
Absolutely. I completely agree.
That's why these polls were off by so much, like Wisconsin off by 17%, because these poll companies, they had a preconceived notion. They wanted Donald Trump to lose, so they were going to find a way to make him lose. They were going to show the public he was going to lose by 17 points. And They make complete jackasses out of themselves, and nobody would ever believe another thing they do. But come 2024, you can bet your sweet ass that every one of those polls that got it so wrong, the media will be promoting them again.
So, I think, it baffles me. Because I think it worked exactly in reverse. I think by them reporting that Biden was going to blow out Trump, I think that brought out more Trump supporters that maybe weren't going to vote, maybe thought it was in the bag.
I agree with that.
And I think it actually brought them out, you know, in the biggest, 70 million, that's the biggest GOP turnout in the history.
Yeah. And you know a little secret that Democrats don't want to talk about right now is a lot of those voters were voters that Democrats thought they belonged to them. The Latino vote, the black vote, Donald Trump got so many of those, and it baffles their minds. And it's like the Democrats believe that these people owe them the vote. That's what they truly believe. And Joe Biden even said it. You're not black unless you vote for me. I mean, it couldn't be more transparent than that.
So, onto the point you're making, President Trump gained voters in every single demographic except two. White women and older white men.
I didn't know the breakdown, but I knew that he gained in nearly every one of them.
Yeah, every other demographic, black men, black women, Hispanic men, Hispanic women, he gained in every demographic, gained voters, except the biggest hit he took was in older white men.
That's surprising.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
For a racist?
I mean, that's surprising. I didn't realize that. I felt like, it was going to be the white women, the suburban women that, that they, Democrats have been saying for all these years that, they try to hear Democrats speak is like, these suburban women are silent cowards that curl up in a ball and cry over everything. Because they act like everything Donald Trump ever says offends them. These suburban women, they got the same values. They want to make money. They want to have a safe neighborhood. I mean, some of the things that Donald Trump says, I'm sure they support. Now, they may not support his home, but in my opinion, I'd rather have somebody who talks rough and gets things done as opposed to somebody who's a gifted speaker but doesn't do anything. Makes my life worse.
So in my years, in the military, we had a term, is it leadership or is it likership? Right? And that's how I look at it. Like, I don't have to particularly, I'm not a fan of Donald Trump as a person. He's made some mistakes. He said some things. I wish I could take his Twitter account from him. You know what I'm saying? Like, he says some things that are offensive, and I get it. I understand why people don't like it. I'm not a fan of it either. But I voted off history. I voted off results.
Sure.
Just like my last episode, I talked about it. I did not vote for Biden because he had 47 years to do something, and he did nothing but negative effects on this country. What's another four going to give him?
The only thing Joe Biden has done in his 47 years in Congress has been, he was a shell for the credit card companies, make sure they can charge as much interest as they can, and grow his family's wealth. Hunter Biden, what did he do? Became a multimillionaire, wandered away on drugs and women, but hey, that's his own money, whatever he does. But that's all Joe Biden has ever done. And the one person right now who's the happiest that Joe Biden is probably going to win is Hunter Biden. because he's probably thinking, if I got $5 million from Russia because my dad was vice president, what could I get if my dad's president? He's probably gonna go for $10-20 million next
well,
time.
On top of that, if Biden does become president, if he's confirmed, that Hunter Biden story is going to go away.
Oh, it disappears.
I mean, it's already, yeah. The DOJ is already, they're looking into it, but while Trump's in office, he's still the president and they're looking into it, but I just don't see them doing anything with it. But like I said, that's in a whole nother episode. But so, back to the Bellwether counties. This year, every Bellwether County was wrong. So only 18%. So three Bellwether counties went to Democrats this year. Only three. So, listen. Is this the smoking gun? No. And is this possible? Absolutely, it's possible. But when you start adding all these things up, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah. And there's a lot of smoke.
And now I'm not saying that there's a nationwide conspiracy here coordinated by the Democrats to do this. I'm not saying that. I don't believe that. I do believe there are people, individuals, small groups that are doing this on their own. They're trying to steal this election. I don't think...
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
I believe someone's trying to steal it, but, I don't think that Joe Biden is behind it. I don't think Joe Biden is smart enough to be behind it. But I think people in his team are behind it, and the people in the DNC are behind this. This was a coordinated effort for this mail-in ballot. They knew what would happen with mail-in ballots. With mail-in ballots, they can control everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's face it, Democrats are better at cheating than Republicans are. They've been doing it so much longer. They're so much better at it. We would never win an election if it was who cheated the most.
Absolutely not. So another thing, too, is Republicans did well in every other part of the races.
Yeah, and that's kind of stunning. I said this on my Facebook account today. You're trying to convince me that not one incumbent Republican in the Congress lost a seat. Not one in the House of Representatives lost a seat.
No,
and that's never happened. That's never happened in America.
No, they gained seats.
Yeah, and you're telling me that not one Republican incumbent lost, but at the same time Donald Trump lost? That math doesn't add up.
Well, and that's why I think it's so important that, as Americans, we need to have this, election validated.
Absolutely.
I don't care. I mean, and that's the thing, whatever your political affiliation, I think you should absolutely be saying, listen, okay, these things don't add up.
Yeah.
Because if we don't fix this now, where does this go, in 2024?
And if I was on the winning team or thought I was on the winning team and then it looked to half of America like there was something screwy going on, I would be demanding it myself to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah. Like I said, I think just as Americans, I'm not married to Donald Trump. Like, I think that's kind of the biggest misconception too. I voted for Donald Trump. But I'm not married to the man. I'm not going to follow this dude regardless. I think he was the best candidate in 2020. I think he's the best candidate 2024. Excuse me, 2016 and 2020. I think he's the best candidate. Now, listen, to be completely honest with you, if the Democrats chose Tulsi Gabbard, we might be having a different conversation right now. She was probably their best candidate. I won't even say probably. She was their best candidate.
And why do you think she was an outcast?
Absolutely.
She wasn't radical enough for them.
Well, she wasn't as far left as they wanted to go.
And she wasn't she didn't want us being in constant wars, which the Democrats love war.
Well, yeah, that's where they make money. But no, and another thing, she has stayed true to her word and the things that she said. If you watch her in her political career, I know it's not very old, but she has said the same thing over and over and over. She's never swayed one way or the other, regardless of what's going on. That's honorable to me.
Yeah.
I've told people this, you know, 2024, whatever happens here, listen, Joe Biden wins this, he wins it, whatever. We validate this election, he wins, whatever. I'm not going to fight and argue with it. It's not over, though, in my opinion.
No, it's far from over.
But I was looking at 2024, and I said if Tulsi Gabbard was the Democratic nominee, which she won't be because, you know, Biden will, well, if he's still alive, will be their nominee. But I said if for some reason it was Tulsi Gabbard and Dan Crenshaw, the Texas senator, I would have a hard time deciding who to vote for. And I think America would too.
Yeah. I mean, Tulsi Gabbard's got some qualities that, you know, people on both sides can agree with. But she's never going to go anywhere in the Democratic Party that it stands today. Like, the Democrats are never going to, they wouldn't even let her be on the stage because she might poison some idea, poison some minds with her idea. So they wasn't going to allow that. They want to keep her silent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she's.
With everything she has said, you know, there's some things I agree with her about. There's probably some things I, a lot of things I disagree with her about. But, you know, out of any Democrat that was running last year, she's the only one who I could even relate to anything.
In my opinion, I think she's their best bet of turning Republicans. I think she is just enough to the middle that I think, you know, people that really aren't, don't identify as Republicans or Democrats that are just kind of floating in the middle and they kind of go for the best candidate like myself, I think you can draw those votes because you're not extreme left.
Well, I mean, I can make this promise to you. Tulsi Gabbard will get nowhere in this part because she makes the one thing that you cannot do, the one cardinal sin in the Democratic Party you cannot do, and that's say we don't need war.
Yeah.
Democrats love war, and they're never going to allow an anti-war candidate like Tulsi Gabbard to get anywhere in any kind of party, any kind of power in the party.
So I tweeted Dan Crenshaw. I said, Dan, you and Tulsi, 2024. Now, listen, they're in two different parties. That'll never happen. But my point was that would blow up the two-party system.
Yeah.
If Dan Crenshaw or Tulsi, whichever one, it would have to be Dan to be the presidential nominee for the Republicans because Biden will obviously be for the Democrats. But if he picked her as his VP, I think that would be she evens him out and he evens her out. I think it'd be awesome. They'd get my freaking vote. Not even a question. Not even a question. But Pennsylvania, the craziest state of them all. Let's see. 25,000 cases are being looked at right now. Those are claims on Pennsylvania for fraud or irregularities or anything like that. They are now finding that, so everybody knows ballot harvesting is illegal in Pennsylvania. If you don't know what ballot harvesting is, I'll go ahead and explain it to you. It's where you fill out your ballot and somebody comes and collects it at your door and they collect them all together and then they go turn them in to get at the same time, right? It's illegal. California, not illegal. Pennsylvania, illegal. However, let's see here, 25,000 nursing home residents in different nursing homes requested mail-in ballots at the exact same time. What is the likeliness that 25,000 people, all from nursing homes, all clicked. They wanted a ballot all at the same time.
Well, I mean, I could probably win the Powerball jackpot three times in a row before that happens, but, you know, I guess there is a
They're all in different locations, too. They're all the same age group, but the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, like, if you're going to cheat, it seems like you would, like, not cheat so much. Like, at least make it believable. I mean, when you're going to cheat, it seems like, you know, if somebody was, if, you know, like, if somebody said, okay, we counted 100,000 ballots and, you know, 75,000 was for Joe Biden, 25,000 was for Donald Trump in Pennsylvania. I could say, okay, I can believe it. But if you say, all right, we counted 100,000 ballots and 100,000 are for Joe and 0 for Donald Trump. Like, you can't convince anyone of that. Like, if you're going to cheat, at least cheat with a little bit of logic.
Yeah. I mean, so, and here's the deal. So if you took, really, you almost have to throw out those 25,000 votes. Because it's a clear, that is clear ballot harvesting, in my opinion. But listen, nothing's been proven. These are all accusations. That is a fact that 25,000 people all from different locations did request a ballot at the same time, all from nursing homes. Absolutely impossible. Also have Pennsylvania postal worker alleging that the postal supervisory officials hatched a plan to backdate ballots for their election to make sure that they were good.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And then the other one, which does happen, okay, they can almost statistically guess it, though, single ballots, right, where somebody just marks the president and they just, that's it, right? You can go ahead and say, they know within a certain margin of error how many people are actually going to do that, and it's never too high. 98,000 in Pennsylvania only marked the president. They didn't vote for any other. They didn't even vote for dog catcher. They didn't vote for nothing.
Right.
And they all went for Biden.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all these stories, you know, add up to, not, it doesn't prove fraud. None of this proves anything. But this, it looks like very suspicious activity.
Well, and that's not
something
even
that
it.
We should take, something we should take a second look at and maybe investigate further. But then they're going to say, let's move on. Don't worry about it. Let's move on.
Well, that's not even, you know, we're not even talking about dead voters. We're talking about another, that's not even all the single vote ballots. There's another 450,000 single vote ballots for Joe Biden that were cast in swing states. Like you said, like, this is no smoking gun. There's not one of these things that we've mentioned or talked about, singularity, it's a smoking gun. This is, it doesn't mean there's fraud, right? But when you add them all up, something happened.
Yeah.
Something happened.
And you add them all up. You add them all up, and it's something certainly worth taking another look at, taking a closer look at, you know, maybe doing an audit on all the ballots that was cast. To me, that's the only way to ensure integrity is to audit every ballot that came through there. One Republican lawyer, one Democrat lawyer, both agree on it, you count it. If you both disagree on it, you set it aside. The judge makes the idea. They may cast that whole ballot out. Then you make your count, you've got the winner.
No, yeah. Listen, like I said, if Joe Biden ends up winning this thing, they investigate the everything, and Joe Biden ends up winning, you're not going to hear an argument out of me.
No. I had a friend of mine. She texted me the morning after the election, and she was like, tell me some good news. And, you know, she's not a real political person, but, I mean, this is an election that everybody knows about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not like an election that just inconsequential. this election, everyone knows about. So, you know, she's not a real big political person. I know her. You know, she used to be my boss, but, you know, we stay in touch. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, she follows me on social media. She knows that I'm big into politics. And so she texted me that morning and said, tell me some good news. She said, is Donald Trump going to win? I said, I don't know. I said, it certainly looks like there's fraud there. I said, but I don't know. I said, it certainly looks like something's going to happen. And she said, I went to bed last night at 3 o'clock in the morning, not knowing who won. I hope I woke up Donald Trump would have won. She said, if Joe Biden won fair and square, she said, I can deal with that. She said, but I hate if there's cheating going on. She said, I would hate to know that our country was cheating. And this is not, like I said, this is not a political person. She, you know, probably wouldn't make a difference in her life whether Joe Biden was president or not. She probably wouldn't have no idea as to what policies Joe Biden put in place, whether it was helping her or not. She would find out later, but she wouldn't know as they were voting for them. But all she wanted was equality and fairness. And it's certainly not looking like that's what we have going on. With all of these things that you have mentioned, I've mentioned before, the conservative media is mentioning, Donald Trump is mentioning it, Eric Trump, the Trump family. Conservatives are mentioning this. The liberals are squashing it, saying, nothing to see here, move on. Just accept it and move on.
You're right. It's not just one. Like, so social media has been doing it for 4 years. Social media is not surprising to me, these fact checks and all these other things. However, now even a lot of conservative media or previously conservative media, Fox and things like that, have jumped on board too. Like, almost like they're like, they've jumped ship. They're like, oh, Donald Trump's out. Boom. Biden's in. Boom. We're on the Biden train. So they can maybe get the interviews or I don't know. I don't know what their line is on it. I will tell you that a ton of people that I know and I've seen the ratings of Fox News has plummeted.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, which, to be fair, I don't really have a whole lot of time anyway. So, I mean, if I watch news, it's usually Fox News. But really the only shows I ever watch is Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity. Like at night, that's when I watch my TV. I don't watch during the daytime. I work, and then even like in the mid afternoon, I don't have time. I got other things I'm going. But I DVR Tucker Carlson, I DVR Sean Hannity. I watch that. Then I like Laura Ingraham, and then the other lady that comes on at 10 o'clock. I watch her if I'm not asleep already. And there, you know, those three that I watch, they're still pretty conservative. They're not, you know, yeah. And like I said, I can't say anything about the others because I haven't watched it. I'm like you. I've been seeing people talk about it and seeing people leave. And so I guess that's going on. But like I said, I haven't watched it myself. So I don't really know where they're going with this because it's not something I watch because I just don't really have time to watch it. But, you know, Tucker Carlson's still on point. So is Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
And Laura Ingraham.
Well, I'll tell you, Tucker Carlson, I mean, he addressed it. I think I seen him address it because he seen it. You know, like, oh, man, you guys deserve more. He actually came out and did a segment on it. Like, you guys deserve more. I see what's going on. I understand. But I think it's too late for a lot of people. And a lot of people move to, and this is not, I'm not promoting them at all, but it is conservative. You're conservative. This is the more conservative news channel, and it's called Newsmax.
Yeah, I've started watching that too.
And I watch some of them, but mainly I just get on there and read their articles because that's really the only news organizations that are putting any of this voter fraud voter irregularities, or whatever you want to call it, out. Every other media organization has squashed it. Just said, hey,
well, they're vested in Joe Biden winning, so they don't want any eyes on anything except for Joe Biden's our president. They don't want anybody talking about anything except Joe Biden's our president.
Yeah.
Shut up and obey. Listen to what we say. or we'll punish you.
Well, and that's where we're going, and I pray. I haven't given up. I have conceded nothing myself, like the president.
What about? And I'm pretty active on social media, and you know I'm a realist too. I know we have a long, a hard road right now. With you know the Democrats, they wasn't going to take a chance of just trying to fix one county, one state. They did this so deep and so wide that in order to have like the Supreme Court overturn it, which I think and we may head to the Supreme Court, but I don't know if it would be enough to overturn an entire election. You know, I believe the courts will say, I find a lot of fraud here. I find a lot of misdoings here. But it's not enough that I can't throw out 100,000 people's votes in one state and change the election. I just don't know that they'll get that. Now we may find more stuff as we start the discovery phase that may change things. But so I just put on Facebook that it was just going to be a hard road to hoe. And so I have people that were saying, oh, you're losing faith. I'm going to fall on you and like that. And then one guy, he told me, he said, God's got this and, he's going to handle this. And I said, yeah, it's going to be God's will, whatever happens. But America is an evil nation. And sometimes a nation gets what it deserves. I said, perhaps God may not want Donald Trump to win, so that America will see how much we need God and see how much the Democrats are against God to turn us back toward God. I don't know. I'm not God. I don't know what his position is.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's just like, everything's in God's hands, right? But we also have free will. So when it comes to free will, like, yes, God can try to guide us. But at the end of the day, we do what we want to do. And so if that's, that leads us to the path of righteousness, then, I'm not going to get real religious on everybody, but this, so be it. And if it, leads us to the path of damnation, then that's what it is. Like, he's not going to, he's not going to interfere. But, and I don't think Joe Biden is the Antichrist. I know a lot of people have said they bring.
I don't think that either. But I think the Democratic Party, I know the Democratic Party is anti-religious.
Yeah.
Not everyone in there. I'm not saying everybody who's a Democrat is anti-religious. No. But the party platform itself is, less God, more government. And, they would be okay with America being a secular nation because they are a secular party themselves. Not everyone, and when I say Democrat, I'm not referring to every Democrat ever.
No.
Like, I'm not. I have a couple of friends who are actually Democrats that are really good Christian men, like really good Christian men. Very, very cheerful, very, very cheerful givers, and just, but they don't subscribe to everything the Democrat Party believes nowadays, and so that's not where I'm going with that, and I don't think that Joe Biden himself is the Antichrist or anything like that, but perhaps, God's plan may be for us to see how evil our nation is and how much we need God and turn back toward them away from the Democratic Party.
Yeah, I mean, that's always a possibility. Joe Biden, I hate what he's going to do. If he becomes the president, if it goes through, like I said, I've conceded nothing. But if it goes through, getting back into the WHO or supporting the WHO again and the Paris Agreement, and all these things that are just a huge waste of taxpayer dollars.
Oh, yeah.
Drives me crazy.
And we'll be back in Syria within 6 months, fighting a war that we don't even know why we're fighting, defending a nation that we don't even know what for.
Yeah.
We'll be back over there sending our safe, brave soldiers over there to give their life for what? We don't know.
Yeah, It's frustrating, absolutely, and that's kind of the thing. Like, I'm not even a Republican. Like, I'm one of those in the middle, vote for the right candidate type guy. Like, I lean more conservative, you know, but I have some democratic values. I have some liberal ideas, but mine is based off of logic and what would work.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying, you know, but I think both sides have their flaws, and I try to be in the middle and try to, you know, hey, no, I do lean more conservative because I do, that is my values. My core values are more on the conservative side, but I believe in, you know, legalization of marijuana. Like, I believe on if one, you know, federal legalization of that, I'm pro-life with stipulations. Like, I think in the case of rape and molestation, abortion should be an option. Because the option was taken from you. Somebody chose for you. You know? So that's not very, that's not Republican. Republicans would thrash me on that. Like, because they're all pro-life. And Democrats are, you know, they're pro-choice. So they also wouldn't agree with that. So that's where I'm kind of in the middle on some of these things. It just baffles me that, you know, I mean, I've been labeled a lot of things because I do believe that President Trump is the best candidate the last two elections. Somebody, I've never been called a racist before in my life until I became a Trump supporter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that comes with being a conservative, period. You know, I mean, I've been called a racist many times. But, I mean, so much that, like, I don't even bat an eye at it now. Like, because, you know, if the first few times I was called, you know, a racist was, you know, whenever I just started speaking out against the direction of our country under the Barack Obama years. You know, my taxes started going up more, and my freedom started going down less. I started having less freedom, and I was paying more taxes. So I started speaking out against it. And the first few times, I was like, damn, that sucks being called a racist. It's like, they really knew me. Like, I felt like I wanted to explain to them why I'm not a racist.
Yeah.
Now I don't give a shit, because, like, I'm like, you fools on Twitter don't even know me. You've never even met me, but somehow I'm a racist because of my beliefs. So, like, and just because I believe, because I support a candidate, like, everybody who supports a candidate is a racist. I guess, like, all the millions of black men who voted for Donald Trump is somehow racist, which, ironically, if you actually, I actually heard one commentator. Now, this shows you how dumb some of these people on CNN are. Now, of course, I didn't see her in person here, but I, you know, I watched the video later. Her logic, why so many black people voted for Donald Trump, was they secretly wanted to be white, and they were secretly racist against black people. I kid you not, this is a Harvard degree woman on there, and this was her logic. This was her logic as to why so many black people, so many Latinos voted for Donald Trump, is because they secretly wanted to be white, and they secretly were racist against black people.
That's
not one because not because Donald Trump has done good for America, not because Donald Trump actually brought unemployment rate to the all-time lowest in every category: white, black, Latino, female, everything. Not because Donald Trump said, you know, there probably is a little bit of injustice in the black community. Why don't we put more money in the black community? What Joe Biden say? We'll look at it after the election. I doubt he does anything.
Well, you know, it goes back to, I posted on social media, you know, BLM. They sent out a congratulatory letter to Biden-Harris. And right, the second paragraph, so it's a three or four paragraph, I can't remember. Either way, The second paragraph basically states, this is me paraphrasing, obviously. You can go on my news feed and read it yourself if you want. You know, at Abrasive Gorilla on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And it clearly says, basically, we made you president.
You owe us.
We want something in return. Literally.
Yeah.
Not figuratively, literally. Then the very next paragraph continues along those lines. Now, nowhere in this letter does it identify what they want specifically. And because I got some pushback from it, and that's why I brought it up. I got some pushback from it, like, oh, that's not what they meant and all these things. And I think it's funny, and this is not me trying to defend. Anyway, I BLM to me is a Marxist organization. I don't support them, period. If you do or somebody else does, that's fine. You can support who the hell you want. I don't support them. I don't support their beliefs, not anything like that. Do I believe in equality? Absolutely. Do I believe in racism? No. I think it is absolutely wrong and immoral. That organization is not there for that. Contrary to popular belief.
They're not there to help white people in general. They're there to help themselves and raise money and line their pocketbook.
Absolutely.
That's what BLM is for, is to line their pocketbook and donate money to Democratic causes and line their pocketbook. It has nothing to do with Black Lives. I mean, because if a police officer is black, his life doesn't matter.
No.
So it's not about the color of the skin. It's about the ideology.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we know that. That's a whole nother show.
Sure.
But yeah, man, I'm not going to keep you any longer. I truly appreciate you coming on the show. Talking to Jared Shelton, author of 2016, How Donald Trump Saved America. And like I said, the link will be in my description, so you can get you a copy like I got mine. Jared, it's always a pleasure. I do appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. Have a good evening.
You too, man.